Welcome and good morning. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. Welcome, everyone, to CSL Midtown, broadcasting to you this morning from a rainy morning in Atlanta, Georgia. It's a beautiful day. We are so glad that you have joined us today. We welcome all people, no matter who you are or where you are in your life. Our center does reflect this beautiful, diverse tapestry of life that is everywhere present. So we welcome you, whoever you are and whatever path brought you to be here today. We know that you are an individual expression of the divine life in which we all live. So you are welcome to participate here today, and I hope you will consider becoming a real part of this community in whatever way serves you. We hope that those of you who are watching our broadcast on a social media platform such as Facebook or YouTube will like and share this with your friends. For a better understanding of who we are and what we teach, listen now to our Declaration of Principles as written by our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
The full declaration is available on our website, cslmidtown.org. Those are some of our fabulous practitioners and board members. All right. Well, my name is Judy Ailey, and I am the moderator and practitioner for today's service. This morning, I am again excited to say that we have yet another fabulous guest speaker, and I'll be introducing her a little bit later. But as we can recall, the theme for this year of 2024 is Grand Rising. And today, we have had a monthly theme in April of Giant Gentleness. And this week's talk is entitled Denial is Not Just a River in Egypt. And I know that some of our speakers this month haven't really focused on giant gentleness, but I think that's fine. You know, it all comes together as New Thought teaching. But I thought it might be worth taking a look at this theme. As I was thinking about the idea of giant gentleness, my thoughts immediately went to the idea of love. We do live in the midst of a giant gentleness, which is love. Love is the very essence of spirit, and it is everywhere present all the time. The giant gentleness, this love, is the essence of who we are. I think we are here to shine this love through our lives. We are here to shine love into the world. Whenever I pray or do treatment or meditate, I sense the presence of this giant gentleness. In my experience, the voice of spirit or guidance that I may be seeking comes to me in a gentle and loving way. I used to wish that God would knock me over the head to help me understand some of the things that I was frustrated with in my own life. And sometimes we may feel that we are getting that sort of treatment. Perhaps it is the only way that spirit can get our attention at times. But I believe that behind all of this, spirit is a giant gentleness that is at its very essence love. Love that is deep and true. As we endeavor to shine our love, our giant gentleness into the world, love asks us to act rather than just to react to situations that we may be facing. We need to give space and respect to those we might perceive as not being on our side. This could be in any part of the world, be it politics or any other situation you may be involved in. When we are called to respond, do so with compassion, love, and awareness. Use love as your guide in interactions with others in every circumstance you face. Use the lens of love to look at your life and all of its situations. Let love support you in all things in your life. Do we give a lot of focus and attention to the problem or the difficulty we are facing? Or can we instead focus on the giant gentleness whose very essence is love and peace? Well, with those thoughts, I'd like to now transition and move us into a spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer. And this prayer will be followed by music for reflection. So as I offer these words in the first person, please accept this treatment for yourself. Let's just take a few moments to allow our attention and our focus to this present moment. And you might want to even take a couple of nice, slow, deep breaths and just allow whatever you've been thinking about, whatever you've been concerned about, thinking about what you're doing after the service, whatever, just allow that all that stuff to go. And instead, let us know this together. Please accept this for yourself. I know that there is this one perfect giant gentleness of love, that this perfect power and presence is all there is. It is everywhere present in the world. It expresses itself through me. I am immersed in it always. It is in every situation that appears to be outside of myself in the world, whether it be people in my life, in my community, in my state, in my country, in my world, that this presence, this giant gentleness of love, of peace, of the bringer of every good thing is expressing. And I know that I am absolutely one with it, that its presence and power flows through me as I allow it to do so. And as I know this, I know that I live a life of peace and love and goodness in every way, that my body is a reflection of this wonderful, vibrant aliveness and health. I allow that presence to express through me as love, as wisdom, as great prosperity and the great goodness in every way. I know that this is a truth of who I am, and that the truth of me at the core of my being is a pattern of divine wholeness and perfection. And that as I know this in greater and greater ways in my life, that this pattern of great health, perfect love, great prosperity, peace, joy, and beauty becomes the outpicturing of my life. I am so grateful to be here this morning. I open myself up to the message that we are about to hear. I know that CSL Midtown is a good place for me to be, and that it allows me to grow spiritually and to connect with others that are of like mind. I am just so grateful for this. I turn away from any idea of lack, limitation, struggle, disease, frustration of any kind. And instead, I settle into the knowledge that this giant gentleness of love guides and directs me. It only wants to express through me in greater and greater ways as every good thing. So I'm grateful for this. I release this treatment now. Absolutely. Knowing that all of this is so, and so it is. Today, our speaker is Reverend Dr. Judy Morley, and I want to say a few things before we get started. She is a nationally recognized speaker, author, and coach. Her years of experience vary from being an advertising agency owner to a college professor to an executive to a franchise owner and, of course, an ordained minister. Dr. Morley holds a PhD in American history and a master's degree in consciousness studies. She is an entrepreneur who currently lives in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And I hope that you will all join us after the service at cslmidtown.org on the Zoom link to meet Dr. Morley and to participate in a discussion of her talk if you have any questions for her. It's a great way to connect to other people in our community as well. Please join me in welcoming Reverend Dr. Judy Morley. So glad you're here today.
Thank you, Judy. So glad to be here. So glad to be here. So the title of my talk today is Denial Ain't Just a River in Egypt. Denial ain't just a river in Egypt. Now, I use the word ain't ironically, because we all know that ain't a word. But it speaks to what I want to say about denial. Denial is a bad word in our culture today, right? We have figured out that when we're in denial, that's a bad thing. And that comes from the recovery movement. Denial is when we deny what's really happening around us. And we particularly, I think in the specific context I'm talking about, we deny that we have a problem. So that's where the word, the modern word denial comes from. But denial is a key part in spiritual growth. Our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, said that denial was really the first step of a spiritual mind treatment. Not the denial from the recovery movement where we pretend that we don't have a problem or that things aren't bad. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk a lot about that. But denial in the fact that we deny that circumstances around us have any power over us. As a matter of fact, Dr. Ernest Holmes's teacher, a woman named Emma Curtis Hopkins, who taught from the 1880s to the 1920s, she actually said that the very first thing we have to do to manifest the life we want is acknowledge that there's good for us and we ought to have it. But then the second step, number two, is that we deny that there is any power that can keep us from our good. We have to literally deny it. As a matter of fact, I have here a list of denials that Emma Curtis Hopkins suggests that we tell ourselves every day. Before I read this, I am sure that if you have been to CSL Midtown or any of the Centers for Spiritual Livings, you've heard that we don't want to say what we don't want. We don't want to deny. Our brain doesn't hear no. I'm going to talk more about that. I think that what has happened is we've taken that a little bit too far, because I think that in denying conditions, we set ourselves up for something called a spiritual bypass. So we have to actually look at the condition and deny it objectively. So here are Emma Curtis Hopkins' denials. We have to every day remind ourselves there is no evil. There is no matter. Everything is made of God. There is no absence of life, substance, or intelligence. There is no thing to hate. And there is no sin, sickness, or death. So we have to remind ourselves of that. What I found in my own life, and you guys may be the same, is that we really do believe in these things. We believe in lack. We believe in sin, sickness, or death. We believe that we don't have enough. We believe it. And in trying to manifest the life we want, which is why we're all here, we want more happiness, we want more peace, we want more love, we want more prosperity, we pretend to ourselves that we believe that there is none of that. And yet, we operate as if there is. So how do we use denials without being in denial? That's kind of the crux, right? That's the paradox, if you will. We have to learn how to deny that these things have power over us without allowing ourselves to wallow in the condition, but we do need to acknowledge it. Hence, the Nile ain't just a river in Egypt. And to tie it into this idea of giant gentleness, this is actually a very gentle process. It's a very natural process. Many people, myself included, you don't have to, you know, out yourself if you're one of them too, but I'm pretty sure I'm not alone. We struggle. We struggle with this because we want to say that we don't acknowledge that there is evil, or that we don't acknowledge that there is poverty or death or whatever. And yet we see it around us and we can't quite reconcile those two things. What ends up happening is when we set an intention till we deny that it has no power over us, we end up sending out different signals to the universe. So we're sending out the signal, I want my prosperity, I want my love, I want my good. At the same time, we're saying, I don't believe that can happen. Again, how do we rectify that? It's a very gentle process. It's a very gentle process. It doesn't have to be the struggle between these two things. And the first thing that you have to do is you have to acknowledge the obvious. That's going to be the basis of what we're going to talk about. I'm going to give you three kind of steps on how do you go from being in denial to productively using denial. The first thing is you have to acknowledge the obvious. I am amazed at my own capability and many of my colleagues' capabilities to deny the obvious. Now, I know where this comes from. This comes from a belief that we have to deny the condition. And Ernest Holmes does say we have to deny the condition. But what he really says is that we have to deny that the condition has any power over us. There's a great joke. Here we go. A priest, a rabbi, and a religious science minister are out playing golf. And while the three of them are playing golf, a huge lightning strike comes and strikes right on the green where all three of them are, and all three of them die. They come to after their experience and they realize that they're in hell. The rabbi says, how can this be? We don't even believe in hell. Jews don't even believe in hell. I've lived a good life. I've been ethical. I don't understand how this can be. The priest says, no, there must be some mistake. I went to confession. I did all of the sacraments. I have kept my soul clear of any mortal or venial sins. I can't be here. I don't understand. We have to go talk to God and find out what's happening. And the rabbi and the priest set off to find out where the mistake is. Meanwhile, the religious science minister is standing there going, I'm not here and it's not hot. I'm not here and it's not hot. I'm not here and it's not hot. That's unhealthy denial. That's unhealthy denial. We don't want to be in that kind of denial. We have to acknowledge the obvious at the same time that we acknowledge that it has no power over us. In one of his CDs, Live Again 2, I believe, Ernest Holmes says that you can't look at someone with a broken leg, see them laying on the ground with a broken leg, and say, just get up and walk. Now, I think we should be able to do that. There's stories in the Bible of Jesus's miracles. And, you know, if we believe in miracles, we think we should do all that. It comes from a level of belief. And until we have the level of belief that, you know, a Jesus or a Buddha did, we probably need to help this person get their leg set. The same time we realize that this doesn't change who they are. This doesn't change their goals. This doesn't change their plans. This doesn't change their ability to do absolutely everything they want to do. It just means they have a broken leg. So we have to acknowledge the obvious. So ask yourself, how often do you acknowledge the obvious? And how often do you pretend that it's not happening? Now, I'm not a psychologist, but I do know where this comes from. It comes from number two in my points after acknowledge the obvious, and that is feeling your feelings. We learn pretty early on that there are certain feelings that we don't like, that are uncomfortable, they make us jittery, or they create anxiety, or they cause us to be overly angry, or just they're uncomfortable. we also learn growing up that there are certain feelings that are inappropriate. I think there are some gender differences here, not always, not 100%, but I know for women, I coach a lot of women, and they're usually told that being angry when they're little is inappropriate because it's not feminine for women to get angry. I also know from coaching men that it's showing crying or sadness, that you know, big boys don't cry. So we learn that those are inappropriate. And so rather than feeling them and managing them, we dissociate from them, we disconnect from them, and we pretend that they're not there. But when we don't feel all of our feelings, what happens is that our body builds a protective self. Remember, when we're trying to get the life we want, when we're trying to manifest, we don't manifest what we want. We manifest what we vibrate. We manifest what our subconscious and conscious mind together put out into the universe. So if we have feelings that we've buried that we don't even know are there, and our conscious mind is saying, I want prosperity, I want peace, I want love, and our subconscious mind is going, I don't even know those exist. I'm fine. There's nothing wrong. But way down under here, I don't feel worthy because I was told I wasn't worthy, or I was told I was inappropriate, or I was told that I was wrong. Then we're fighting against ourselves. We can't get what we want. It doesn't come into sync. It always reminds me of, you know, at the movie theater. I don't know if they still do this because it's been a while since I've actually been in a theater. But when they test the sound, you know, it would be all cacophonous and very noisy. And then all of a sudden they go, whoa. it's like we're trying to get to the oh, but we've got all of these different messages going out there in the universe, and it can't come to us. What we want can't come to us in that beautiful clarity because we're not feeling all of our feelings. Ernest Holmes was very clear. He said, it's not the thought, but the feeling back of it that does the work. So you can say all you want, I am prosperous, I am love, I am peaceful. You can say that all you want and you can think it in your mind. But if in your heart you're feeling poverty or you're scared about money or you've got anxiety about relationships, you're not going to get what you want. You're not going to manifest because you're sending mixed signals to the universe. So what do you do about it? Well, this is the kind of icky part. You have to feel all your feelings. You have to go back and you have to recognize when you're feeling anxiety, recognize when you're feeling fear, recognize when you're feeling sadness. And instead of pushing it away or using some sort of coping mechanism like getting too busy or eating, drinking, napping, watching TV, playing on your phone, whatever it is, instead of doing whatever that coping mechanism is, you have to stop, be still, and feel it. Now, it doesn't take very long to feel. It takes about 90 seconds to actually ride the wave of a feeling. About 90 seconds. That's not that long. But we've been so scared to feel certain feelings for so much of our lives that we push it off. We say, no, 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 no. And we distract ourselves with something else. The other thing that we sometimes do instead of feel our feelings is we allow our brains to override our hearts because the feeling is too frightening. So there's a wonderful story about this that comes from the teacher John Randolph Price. I don't know, John Randolph Price died in 2017. He's obviously not still on the speaking circuit. But back in the olden days, when I first started in New Thought, John Randolph Price was very prevalent. His books were very much read and published and spoken about. You might have seen his little 40-day prosperity plan book. It's a little book. But he tells this wonderful story about his own journey to prosperity. He had a career in marketing, and he had decided that he wanted to go full time doing spiritual growth work. He'd written a couple books and he wanted to close down his agency and start a nonprofit called the Cordis Foundation. But he didn't have the money and he didn't know where the money was going to come from. And he had a specific dollar amount that he needed. So he was going to use that specific dollar amount. or look for that specific dollar amount. So we prayed for that specific dollar amount. Now, we've all done that. We know what we need. We get very clear. We pray for it, or we send intention, or we say an affirmation. We get there. Great. So a few days later, John Randolph Price is walking out of his office, and two big men come up and kind of get on either side of him and escort him to this big limousine and ask him to please get in. Someone wants to have a conversation with him. And he feels like he's out of some sort of gangster movie, right? So he gets in the back, and they take him to like an old warehouse. They escort him in, and he says there's a guy behind the desk, sounds like the Godfather, who pretty much makes him an offer he can't refuse. And what the man wants is he wants John Randolph Price to write a book. And he's going to offer him the exact amount of money that John Randolph Price has prayed for, right? Unfortunately, the book was a book that was supposed to be written to exonerate a convicted killer. I don't know how many of you know the story of the actor Woody Harrelson, but Woody Harrelson's father, Charles Harrelson, was a hired hitman. You can Google this. It's all on there. In Texas. And he was convicted of killing a federal judge. And this man was asking John Randolph Price to write a book that exonerated Woody Harrelson's father. Well, he'd been convicted and was already in jail. And John Randolph Price just didn't feel good about this. His feelings were saying, don't do it. Don't do it. This is going to be trouble. But his mind was saying, this is the exact amount of money you prayed for. This is answered prayer. You said that you wanted X number of dollars, and this man is offering you X number of dollars, and all you have to do is write a book, which you've done before. So you should do this. So John Randolph Price has the presence of mind to not say yes right then, to ask, say he needs to check his schedule and things like that. He leaves, he sits with it, and he's got this fight. Can you relate? Can any of you relate? You pray for something, and the opportunity appears exactly like you prayed for, but it feels awful. I've done it so many times. Most of the time I go with what my brain says and do it anyway and regret it. Luckily, John Randolph Price, after lots of prayer and consideration, turned it down. He had had a dream that if he did this, he would be killed. So he says no. But now he says, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to get this money. And there's just got to be another way. He was invited the next week to speak at a small church. He got there and he started talking a little bit about what his prepared remarks were. And then all of a sudden he was inspired to talk about the Cordes Foundation and what he wanted to do. And he kind of threw his notes out the window and just spoke freely about the Cordes Foundation. And by the end of the talk, he had people donating money to the new Cordes Foundation in exactly the amount he needed. And this time it came from the heart. So you have to feel all of your feelings in order to get to what you want. You have to feel your feelings, resolve them, and recognize that those negative feelings have no power over you. And then the third thing you have to do is you have to follow the breadcrumbs. So after you've acknowledged the obvious and felt your feelings, then follow the breadcrumbs and follow what you know to be right, just like John Randolph Price did. There's a theory in leadership circles that we talk about a lot. I do a lot of leadership coaching with people in the Fortune 500, and I talk to them about something called the Stockdale Paradox. And I find that sometimes when we're in science mind, we find it difficult to sit inside the Stockdale Paradox. So the Stockdale Paradox comes from Admiral James Stockdale. James Stockdale was the highest ranking prisoner of war during the Vietnam War. He was in the infamous Hanoi Hilton for 10 years. And as the highest ranking POW, it was his job to maintain the morale and the organization of the men in the Hanoi Hilton. Now, of course, this wasn't an easy task. They're all prisoners. They're living under the worst psychological, physical, painful conditions. But he gets out after 10 years. He's rescued, comes back to the United States, actually runs for vice president. So fast forward to the early 2000s, and the author Jim Collins is writing a book called Good to Great, and he interviews James Stockdale. And the first thing Collins asks Stockdale is, so who didn't make it? Who didn't make it? Like, who did you find in your experience with all these men who didn't make it. And Stockdale says something that's absolutely shocking to me. He says the ones who didn't make it were the optimists. What? Don't we teach that we should always be optimistic? That if we acknowledge something's not working, that we're being pessimistic and negative and that's wrong? No, no, no. Stockdale says that it's the optimists that didn't make it. And of course, Jim Collins says, what? And Stockdale says, yeah, because they couldn't look at the reality. They would say, oh, no big deal. We'll be out of here by Christmas. And Christmas would come and go. And they'd say, oh, no big deal. We'll be out of here by Easter. And Easter would come and go. And they'd say, oh, no big deal. We'll be out of here by 4th of July. And 4th of July would come and go. And they were still there. And Stockdale said, they ultimately died of a broken heart. So, of course, Jim Collins asked the obvious follow-up question. So what do you do if not be optimistic? And this is where we get the Stockdale paradox. You have to have a bedrock faith that you're going to survive in the end. You have to have a bedrock faith that the thing you want, whether it's love or prosperity or relationship or whatever, is out there for you. At the same time, you have a realistic assessment of where you are. You have to understand how bad it is, but know that no matter how bad it is, you can still get to where you want in the end. And how do you do that? You follow the breadcrumbs. You follow the feelings that get you to the feeling tone of that alignment. So I had a personal experience with this 26 years ago. Now, I was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. I've written about it. I've talked about it. I had about a 20% chance of survival. And I was an optimist. When I was first diagnosed, I kept saying, it's just a bump in the road. That was my little catchphrase. Just a bump in the road. It's just a bump in the road. But as every new revelation came, first, I just noticed I had a lump in my neck. Well, that was bad. But then I noticed that I had other symptoms. Then they did tests and found that the cancer was everywhere, including my bone marrow. And then I got an infection, or I'm sorry, an allergic reaction to the chemo drugs. And we had to modify my regimen to be less effective. And then I had to have a Metaport put in. And then I had an infection in the Metaport. It's just like one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing. And every time I got a new curveball thrown at me, I said, oh, it's just a bump in the road. Until the last one, when I got the bacterial infection and I was actually told to go home and get my affairs in order, because most people who die of cancer don't actually die of the cancer, but die of a related infection. And since I only had a 20% chance to begin with, and now I've got this infection, I was a goner. I remember I had a 3-year-old daughter. I was only 33 years old, had a 3-year-old daughter. And I remember going home and I was cross-stitching a stocking for her, a Christmas stocking, so that she would have something to remember me by. But I had not acknowledged yet how bad it could be. But as I cross-stitched the stocking, I remember just feeling like I can't fight anymore. I'm exhausted. It doesn't even feel honest. I feel like I'm lying with my little, oh, it's just a bump in the road, because it didn't feel like a bump in the road. It felt like disaster. I had suddenly a realistic assessment of how bad it was, which was I was going to die. I remember sitting in my rocking chair with my cross stitching and just crying, 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 and saying, okay, God, I don't care. I really am. I'm okay. Either way, I would like to live. My intention is to live, to see this little girl grow up, to be part of her life. That's my intention. But truly, I understand how bad it is. So I'm just going to let you show me the next step. But I'm done fighting. I'm done fighting. I get it. I could die. I acknowledge it. I've made my peace with it, but I'd prefer to live. The next day I had a CAT scan. There was no evidence of disease. There hasn't been any evidence of disease since December of 1998, which was when I had my last test. So that's coming up on 26 years. So denial. Denial ain't just a river in Egypt. How do we go from being in denial to using denials? First, acknowledge the obvious. Acknowledge the obvious. Don't live in denial. If you have a broken leg, go see a doctor. If you're told you're going to die, acknowledge that you could die. If your bank account is empty, don't spend money. Just acknowledge the obvious. And then second, follow your feelings. Feel them all. Feel them all. I know some of them are unpleasant. I know you don't want to feel them. I know that you might have spent a lifetime trying to get rid of them or distract yourself from them. But it is those feelings that will guide you to where you want. It's those feelings that will tell you where to go. And your job then is number three, follow those breadcrumbs. Follow the breadcrumbs of the feelings. If something feels good and like relief and like, whew, I can breathe again, do that. If something feels bad or frightening or conflicted, don't do that. So denial ain't just a river in Egypt. Deny that there is any power in the universe that can hurt you. There is a power for good and good only. And then deny that the conditions around you that may or may not be a product of your own faulty thinking, they don't have any power over you until you forget that you have to deny their power and embrace the greater power. So let's pray. So I'm just so grateful in this moment to deny that there is any power of evil. There is no evil. There is no lack. There is no sin, sickness, or death. I know this is the truth. I am not afraid to speak those words because I acknowledge they have no power. Saying that evil, that saying the word evil does not make evil so. Saying the word poverty does not make poverty so, because what I know at the very core of my being is that there is only one power. There is only one life. Whatever we call it, whatever we think about it, there is only this one power in the universe. And so knowing that there is this one power in the universe, I deny that there is any power that is greater. I deny that there is any power that can overrule or override this divine life that is at the center and core of every single being. We are all manifestations of that one God. We are all manifestations of the good. And that good is calling us forward in every moment. That good is calling us to feel deeply, profoundly, at our very core, that there is good for us and we ought to have it. We deserve to have it. We are worthy of having it. So regardless of what is happening in our lives, regardless of the conditions around us, regardless of the political climate, regardless of the financial climate, regardless of anything that is going on outside of our own feelings, we are one with the good we ought to have. So when something enters into our awareness that makes us feel negative, that makes us feel bad, that makes us feel like we are separate from our good, we stop and we feel it. We look at it. Ernest Holmes says we must look at a thing long enough until it no longer has power over us. So rather than turn away and try to get busy and distract, we look at it and we say, oh, no, 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 no. You are not the truth. You, poverty, are not the truth. You, dissension, are not the truth. You, division, are not the truth. You, separation, are not the truth. Because the truth is there is only one. There is only good, and I ought to have it. And so as we practice this new skill, as we practice this new skill of going from being in denial to using denial, we step into a greater power. We step into a greater awareness of our spiritual beingness. We step into the greater knowing that we are the divine creators of our life in a way that allows us to be powerful, to be centered, not to be fearful beings running from the truth, but standing in the power that there is nothing that the world can throw at us that God can't overcome. And so it's with great gratitude for this knowing. It's with great gratitude for the fact that this is how God is and that every spiritual teacher across the millennia has told us that this is the nature of the divine, that there is only good. And we feel our way using our heart, feeling our feelings, following the breadcrumbs. We feel our way into that goodness. And as we do that, I know that every condition in our life is healed. And so I just know as we go about our week now that we practice this new skill, we bring it out into the world. We become the beings in the world that we want to see. we transform our own fear-based thoughts and our own fear-based feelings into that feeling of power and connection. And as we do that, we permit everyone around us to do the same. And that is how we impact consciousness and bring on the grand rising of the beloved community. So it is with this knowing that I give such profound thanks that I can just let it be, because I know that all is well. And so it is.
Wow. Thank you, Dr. Judy, for that awesome talk this morning.
Thank you.
So on to our affirmation of prosperity. And thank you for your generosity, helping us to bring wonderful speakers like Dr. Judy every week. It's your contributions that are doing that, and we appreciate it. And so if you would, with me, read our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. You can give at the cslmidtown.org/donate. Scan the QR code on your screen. It'll take you right to the donation site to contribute. You can set up a ongoing contribution or just do a one-time contribution, and we appreciate it all. So now for announcements, we've got we're ongoing on the transition team, and we need your help. I guess that's the best way to put it. Anybody that would like to help with the creation of the ongoingness of the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, and would like to be on the Minister Selection Committee, we've got openings for that. You can email to president@cslmidtown.org. So Lee Huffman can get that. That would be awesome to let us know that you're interested in doing that and participating in that. There's a whole process involved with that. It's going to take us a while to do that, but that's the beginning steps with that. We're online again next week. And so with that, that's the biggest thing. Let's do our affirmation of life. I live this place now, knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me, and so it is. So, thanks, everybody. We'll see you here next week. And reminder, Dr. Judy will be over on the Zoom connection. So if you want to join us over there and have a discussion with her further on what she talked about or anything she talked about this morning, you can do that by going to cslmidtown.org, click on the Zoom link, get the code to open the meeting, and join us. With that, have a great week.